This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada at ZenCon 2015, and my special guest is my friend Margaret Staples. Say hi to everybody, Margaret.
Hi, everybody.
Now, I ask everybody before the show prep, for those of you who have not been a guest on the show, I always do show prep, and I'll sit down and say, okay, what do you want to talk about? And Margaret just looks at me blankly. So, but we have some, you said you don't know why I would want to have you on. The answer is obvious. You have become one of the more vocal members of the PHP community. You're out there. Everybody knows who Margaret is these days. And a lot of that has to do with this great game that you've been working on for how long?
About 4 years now.
Wow. Tell us about the game.
Well, the game is Brunelleschi, Age of Architects, and it is a social strategy city builder RPG set in the Mythic Renaissance.
Wow.
And I have basically been building it from scratch using mostly PHP and the Symfony 2 framework, and we are launching that at the end of this year, and that is super, super exciting because I've been putting basically my whole life into this game for several years now.
That is awesome. First of all, thank you for telling me how to pronounce it, because I kept reading it going, I got no idea. That's why I didn't name it. I'll let you name it.
Actually, we pronounced it incorrectly for the first several years because it's a historical name in a book.
Okay.
It's a famous architect. It's basically the person that invented the role of architect in modern society.
Wow.
But it was just a name in a book to us, and we pronounced it Brunelleschi. Brunelleschi. See, now it's hard to do wrong because we've been trained. And one of our first players who's most excited about us launching the game, he's obsessed with this time period. He's and he's absolutely wonderful. He's been a great tester, and he corrected our pronunciation. And that's one of the great things about having beta testers is they will absolutely tell you when you are wrong about things.
Yes, they will. But they're usually nicer about it than having open source project users who not only tell you that you're wrong, but yell at you for being wrong. Anyhow, okay, first I want you to talk to us a little bit about the gameplay. I mean, it sounds like a sandbox game.
It's actually, it's an MMO.
Okay.
It's designed for you to be able to play it with your friends basically indefinitely. It definitely comes out of a love of old school MUD style games.
Oh, yeah.
So it has a lot of depth of play, and it's really designed to keep you coming back and building your civilization with your friends for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently, the interface that I've been building for it is a web interface, because of course my background is in making web pages. That's mm-hmm. what I know how to do. But I also made this whole huge backend engine and an API for it, and my adult niece, I could not be prouder, has decided that she will step up and has been making a Unity 3D client for it.
Wow.
Yeah, so that you can run around in a more traditional console style 3D environment with mm-hmm. with your characters in the cities that you're building, and it's super cute, and it's going to be that client is eventually going to be available on PC and mobile and Xbox and Mac and stuff like that, and it's really excited, and I think it's absolutely wonderful that you can build a piece of technology with a bit of open-endedness to it, and mm-hmm. somebody else can come along and add this whole new component of awesome to it.
Well, you answered my next question, was, is it only web-based? So you are working on, or you have somebody working with you on a PC client and game console and all
yes.
this.
Yes.
You know, when I think of PHP, I never think, oh, hey, heck, I'm going to build a game, you know? Especially one as deeply rich. I've seen the screenshots, and they're absolutely gorgeous.
Yes.
You just don't think of that. Even when you say Symphony or something like modern frameworks, you don't say, dang, that's just perfect to build, you know, a MUD on or an MMORPG. So
I've heard that. I've heard that a lot. And one of the more gratifying things about getting out in the community and becoming a part of the community and talking about what I've been working on is how many people who at one point in their past as a developer wanted to be game developers mm-hmm. or started down that road and got derailed by things like needing to pay bills,
oh, yeah.
who are getting excited about the idea that maybe the technology that they use would be suitable for some of their game ideas. And I do encourage people that, yes, you should make a game. If you have a game idea, you should absolutely go for it. There are an infinite number of possibilities when it comes to gaming. It is an artistic medium that everybody should be encouraged to embrace and give a try. Everybody should sing a song. Everybody should paint a picture. Everybody should make a game.
I wrote one. I think it was my very first program that I actually sold a copy of. And I never, ever did it again because I love business programming and web programming because the math in it is fairly straightforward.
Right.
Game programming, not so much.
Oh, it's been a crazy adventure. It has been a crazy adventure. I have loved it for everything that it has taught me, for sure. I didn't design this game. Mm-hmm. My best friend designed this game. I say everybody should make their game, and everybody should. My best friend should make an infinite number of games because that's how many he has up in his brain.
That's
he
awesome.
Can't help it. He's been generating game systems for diverse people to come together and play together for as long as anybody can remember, and he's absolutely brilliant at it, and it has been a real honor to get to help him see one of these things actualized out in the real world and get people playing it, and that has been absolutely wonderful. And you are not wrong about it being a whole different challenge level.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had mine was a space-based game. It wasn't complex, but it was turn-based,
mm-hmm.
and I spent about a week trying to figure out how to plot Starship courses and all that, and then invented hyperspace. So, yep, we're just going to, it's going to go into hyperspace, 10 turns are going to come out here. They don't have to worry about plotting their course along there.
Well, sometimes you need to find a shortcut to save your sanity.
Yes, yes. But, yes, game programming was very fun. And even in my simplistic example, I did enjoy it. Now, tell me, because obviously the PHP is a back-end system, and the game is very visual. How does PHP power this game?
Well, I wrote the whole engine in PHP. The API is in PHP, and mm-hmm. then I use Symphony to deliver. I put together all the data in controllers, and then the controllers deliver it to templates, and the templates are put together using Twig. And I'm not a front end person. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm a full stack person because when nobody else is around, you pick up a little everything. But front end isn't my passion, so I've leaned a lot on existing technologies, Twitter Bootstrap, jQuery UI, you know, all the stuff that a back end person leans on when they're having to put together a UI. And I've also been very lucky in that several artists have donated their work to the project because everybody loves gaming. And mm-hmm. so when you get passionate about a project and you're making something interesting and unique, people will come out of the woodwork to offer a little bit of an assistance here and there.
Now, y'all are you still on Steam? Or I know there for a while were.
We went through the Steam greenlight process, which means that we are approved to launch on Steam whenever we want.
Okay.
And we could go into Steam early access, but there are pros and cons to that. Mm. And so we will do that when we think that the graphic client is ready. But that is a free ticket whenever we're ready.
I know you're passionate about this, and I really hate to move on because I could sit here and talk about it. It's just been fascinating to me to watch as I've gotten to know you and watch you talk about this. Your eyes light up. It's just fun to be around you. But I do want to talk about something else because you have now, as part of growing into the community, you've started speaking and sharing what you've learned. Talk to me about that. Is that, to some people, it just comes natural. Not to me, but to some people, it just comes natural. Have you struggled with it? Is it something you enjoy doing? Talk to me
about
speaking.
All of the above. So I got I got sent by some friends and family. I have a physical disability, which has made it very difficult for me to be out in the world.
Wow.
So my friends and family got together to send me to a symphony conference. It was my first ever conference a few years back, mm-hmm. because I was making this game in symphony, and it was just this incredible learning opportunity. So they got together, they sent me, I went, I had an amazing time. I learned so incredibly much. You don't realize when you're at home or in an office by yourself, flying solo, just trying to assemble information to do what you're trying to do, you don't realize how slowly you're going in comparison to how quickly you can go when you're bouncing ideas off of other developers, when mm-hmm. you're showing your work around, when you're getting feedback, with just the conversations that happen. They fill up your brain with new search terms that you didn't know that mm-hmm. you needed to be typing into Google. And then you go back and suddenly you're going at a million miles an hour, whereas before you were just crawling along. And that was very much my experience with my first exposure to the community, which I did not know existed before this conference experience. And I made some good friends. I got pointed at IRC, chat rooms. I got pointed mm-hmm. at folks to follow on Twitter for good additional information. I made friends that continued to follow up with me online after that. I got cooked into as close to a local user group as I have, which is in Seattle, CPHP. If you're mm-hmm. anywhere near, I highly recommend it. It's absolutely a fabulous group.
It really is.
It's unfortunately 3 hours away from where I live, but
oh, wow.
I managed the closest user group to me.
Yep.
I did manage to make it out there a few times and made more friends and had great experiences. And I had several people encouraging me to become a speaker so as to be able to write my own ticket to these conferences, because mm-hmm. I wasn't going to be able to get myself back unless I started writing talks and presenting them. And it took me, I don't remember how long it took me before I had it in my head that this was something I wanted to do, but it took me about a year after that
wow.
to actually get the courage up to actually submit a talk. And I'm very grateful to a lot of people who encouraged me. They told me I could do it. They helped me think about what topics might work for me because of what I knew and what I was passionate about, mm-hmm. and gave me those important social pushes towards actually writing it up and submitting it. And then Jeremy Lindblom, who has been running CPHP for several years, mm-hmm. when he found out that I'd finally put out my first talk submissions, he was like, come down to CPHP and deliver that talk. You need the practice. You need to get a feel for what it's like. And so I did. It was a great excuse to get to put the slide deck together mm-hmm. and go out there. And I delivered it to a room full of local developers. They were right there where I could see their shining faces. And they were very engaged. They asked me great questions. We all went out and hung out afterwards. And I got amazing feedback and encouragement and ways to make it better and what I'm good at and what I'm not and all this stuff. And very shortly after that, I got accepted to my first conference, True North.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And
Chris Hargis.
Yes.
And Peter Meth and several others.
I'm in about a week and a half, I'm about to go speak at True North again, and
nice.
That will be my 1 year anniversary of speaking.
Very, you're kidding
me. I'm not.
It seems like every time I turn around, you know, I look at the speaker list and, well, Margaret's up there. I was explaining to Jessica Morhan. She was just at, she spoke for us at Nomad PHP, and she's here at ZenCon. And I was talking to her. I was at my tutorial, she was there, and I was talking, hey, you know, the speaker's event's going to be awesome. You know, it's a homecoming. It's a family reunion. And then I got to realizing she's not a speaker here at ZenCon. There are certain people that in my mind, they're speakers, you know, and she has become one of them. Even though she's just like you, she's just started speaking recently. In my mind, she's a speaker. And so I assumed when I saw her that she was a speaker. When I see you at a conference, I assume you're speaking at that conference.
I've been very lucky. People have been very supportive of my speaking. My first talk at True North last year, it wasn't a packed room. Nobody knew who I was. There were maybe a dozen people in the room, but one of them was Adam Culp.
Oh, nice.
And he was, I was a little intimidated, but he was very engaged and very supportive. And basically, as soon as the talk wrapped up, he got in touch with you.
Well, he did.
And he told you that I should be a speaker on Nomad PHP, mm-hmm. And he also, he had just, and I think he was coming to the talk to confirm that he was right too, he had just accepted me to speak at Sunshine, and so I've been lucky enough to get to speak at a lot of conferences this last year, mm-hmm. and I think that has everything to do with the fact that there's this community around information sharing in the developer community, people who are very into creating educational experiences and mm-hmm. encouraging others to contribute to that educational community. And I was really lucky that I got tapped into that really quickly, and mm-hmm. I have been bolstered up by that support and have had a lot of really amazing experiences because of it. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to go to all sorts of cities that I've never been to before. I've gotten to travel when I've never gotten to travel before. I've gotten to meet amazing people, make new friends, and meet back up with existing friends, and mm-hmm. and the relationships and the experiences and all the learning have just been, it's been such a rich and gratifying year.
Yeah. And I don't know much about other developer communities, but I know in the PHP community, if you let people know you want to speak, it still might take you a year to get accepted,
mm-hmm.
but there is the support group of the people that just, all they want to do is raise you up and bring you to the attention
Absolutely.
Of other organizers Absolutely. So that you can get that shot.
They want to help you with your abstract. They want to hook Yep. you into your local user groups. They want to get you the practice. They want to get you the feedback. They want to get you in front of people, and they want to get you sharing your knowledge, and that is just so nurturing
We're privileged to have a community spirit like that in this community.
I completely agree.
It's one of the reasons I just love being a part of PHP. So, hey, let's change subject, because I can talk speaking for hours, but I know people get tired of that. You have a dog, and
I do.
A dog lover myself, you notice in several of my talks, I will now say bad things should happen, kittens should die. I never say puppies should die. It's a joke, but I never say puppies should die because I'm a dog lover. Tell us a little bit about your dog.
My dog's name is Lilith, L-I-L-I-T-H. She also responds to Lily and Puppy. she is made entirely of sweetness and joy.
Nice.
Yes. I always wanted a dog growing up, and my parents always said that I couldn't have one because we had cats. Mm. And I do love cats, but I'm also highly allergic to cats. So it's really hard to, you stick your face in their belly and nuzzle them, and then you've got hay fever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not happy.
So as soon as I was out on my own, I decided that I would be a really smart, responsible young adult and immediately go get a puppy. So I did. I've had her for about, I want to say she's about 11 or 12 now.
Mm-hmm.
She's a black lab border collie mix. I got her at a local pound, so I can't be entirely sure, but my uncle, he was a vet for many years, and he looked her over and checked her ears and checked her teeth and told me I was crazy for voluntarily getting a new animal, because he's probably adopted 10,000 animals over the years because they've just been dropped off the side of his property, and he takes them in because he's got a heart a mile wide, but of course likes to tease me for volunteering for such punishment. And she has stuck by me through thick and thin. She is my best friend. She is a source of unconditional love and acceptance in my life, and that has been really important to me over the ups and downs of my life, and I just love her to bits and pieces. She is boarding for the first time ever right now.
Mm.
And I found a place that is out in the woods, and they let her run around with other puppies, and they take really great care, and they take pictures and post them to Facebook, so I check in on her every day.
That is so cool.
And the best ones I, of course, share with everyone, so everybody gets to watch me squee all over my beautiful, precious puppy, and
yep.
And I just adore her, and she has been a real source of joy in my life, and I am very grateful that there are creatures that can just provide unconditional love whenever you need it and need nothing much in return, but, belly scratches and a bowl of dry food for now and again.
Yep. I've got one myself. Her name is Pearl. Traditional spelling, P-E-R-L. Freaks everybody out. But, yes, my dog is named after a programming language. And she's boarding right now, and we're kind of nervous because this is her first time at this one. But Kathy, when I travel domestically, Kathy will travel with me. So Pearl mm-hmm. is no stranger to boarding.
But you guys just moved, so.
We did. And this is a very nice place. We toured it beforehand before we would drop her off. And they keep her in an open area with the rest of the dogs. Mm-hmm. And then at night, she has her own little area with her bed, And so we're just hoping that things go well and she likes this, because we kind of like this kennel. So
awesome.
But anyhow, well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. Before I let you go, the same two questions I ask everybody, local user group and the URL.
CPHP, mm-hmm. and I don't remember their URL.
We will look it up. Kathy will find it and put a link to it on the
If you search for SEAPHP, you will definitely find them.
You will.
And all of the people that are a part of them. And we are awesome. And you should totally come visit us sometime.
Yeah, I know. Jeremy has been working with that group for a long time, but I think he's stepping aside.
He's moving to Arizona. Yeah. He's taken his big family to the rest of his big family. I'm sure they've been bugging him to see those babies for quite a while now.
Sure.
And
Tessa
Miro is going to be stepping up and taking over a lot of the organizational stuff. And Tessa is absolutely amazing. Oh. She was the co-organizer for the Pacific Northwest PHP conference that they just put on the debut version of this year. And they did a phenomenal job.
It was a great conference.
I really had an absolute ball.
Yeah, she is one of the rising stars in the PHP community.
She's amazing.
She just, every time I turn around and look at something new, it seems like Tessa's either involved in it or Tessa's the one telling me about it or something like that.
She is a complete powerhouse, and I am lucky to get to call her my friend.
She's a wonderful human being. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us on Voices of the Elephant. And because you are, and this is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, there's a lot of people in the community that will help people. But you actually put yourself out there, and you're speaking, and you're teaching, and more than just, hey, I can help you change this code, but you're sharing what you learn. So thank you for helping make the PHP community just that much more awesome.
Well, thank you for having me on today, and thank you so much for always being a very welcoming human being. I always look forward to seeing your shining face, because I know if I see your shining face, at least one person in the room is happy to see me, and that is a good feeling.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.